Hi there, and welcome back to another episode of the Esquire Q&A podcast. This is a regular show that sees us sit down with a man or a woman here in the Middle East, well, also internationally, that exhibit both style and substance, two traits that us here at Esquire hold most dear. Today is no different, although we might just be talking to a man with one of the most covetable jobs in history. Yasser Max Korpatau, I hope that I'm saying that right, is a coffee ambassador for Nespresso Middle East. That's right, the man's job is to taste coffee and educate the world on what it takes for a good cup of joe. But don't take my word for it, let's talk to the man himself about what a coffee ambassador actually does and how we too can get a job that involves traveling around the world tasting coffee. Enjoy. So let's say, for example, you walk into a party. No one knows who you are. You don't know anyone else. How do you introduce yourself?
I am Yasser Korpatau. I am originated from Switzerland. My mom is from Morocco. So I am a bit schizophrenic. Between the Swiss German and Moroccan culture, it's a quite distant environment, but helped me growing in the right way, I might say. I'm a huge lover of comic books and music. I'm a DJing as well on the side.
Cool.
And my main hobby is coffee, and I work for the industry for the past 12 years now.
So how did you get started in coffee? Because I don't think many kind of kids wake up one day and go, you know what I want to do? I want to like taste coffee for a living and educate people on coffee.
Yeah, that's exact first. Even if you have a lot of kids who are actually super interested into this beverage.
Yeah.
I was always keen to work in an environment where I'm actually facing the customers and the guests. I worked in different industries like in the Horeca business, hotel restaurants, coffee shop, petrol station even. And when I had the opportunity to start to work with Nespresso as a coffee specialist in a boutique back home in Switzerland, in Fribourg, as a part-time, I discovered this world of coffee that actually grasped my attention quite quickly. And this is why now, 12 years later, I'm still working with the same brand in the same industry.
So what does a coffee specialist, or now you're a coffee ambassador, what does one do?
Coffee specialists ensure that the club members, the customers of Nespresso, will select the right coffee for their tastes and the different moments of consumption during the day, provide an excellent service. We have this pride about delivering a service that is quite extraordinary in the boutiques, but as well online and via the club. The coffee specialist's his job is to actually guide the customer through this world of coffee that is quite complex, actually, and try to simplify a bit the journey into this world.
And then what do you do? Do you just travel around the world tasting, telling people what to do?
So no, I am a coffee ambassador. It's a position that is being included in the marketing team. I am a spokesman for the brand in the region, in the Middle East and Africa. And my main job is to represent the brand throughout different activation we are organizing throughout the region, so Middle East and the whole continent of Africa. And I'm as well on the side trainer for our people. So I'm ensuring that the knowledge about coffee and as well the knowledge about the quality service we try to deliver consistently is increasing throughout the mediums, throughout the channels.
So I think a lot of people, I don't know, like me, I know a few types of coffee, black with milk, cappuccino. It's a lot deeper than that, right? And how is it deeper? How does it go deeper?
Well, I always like to start by saying that, first of all, you have to understand that coffee is a fruit.
It's a fruit.
It grows on trees in the shape of a berry. So most of the people don't have this idea because they see the roasted bean most of the time through the different advertising that you can see. Coffee itself grows in many different terroirs. You will see that with the grape industry, we have a lot of similarities in terms of vocabulary, but as well in the way we process this good. So depending on the terroir, you have different type of coffees, different varietals of coffee that you can select. Before going into the end products, you have to understand that you have different type of coffees. The two main produced coffee around the world globally are the Arabica and Robusta. Arabica coffee is a gentle, fine coffee that will deliver smooth, gentle, flowery, fruity notes, citrus notes as well. And Robusta will go more deeper into the dark cocoa type of notes, woody notes, and is most of the time used as a spice to enhance a blend of coffee.
Okay, yeah.
But then if you want to go directly into the end products, there are so many different recipes. And even right now, we've you know, with this mixology trend that we are discovering more and more right now, you have so many different possibilities of creating a cup of coffee in a different way.
Yeah.
And it goes from the simple ristretto, extracted at 25 milliliters, to an alto that will go up to 400 milliliters. And this will be accompanied by different garnishes and different add-on, like fruit juices, alternative milk, or even dairy milk. And other beverages that you can find in
that. Well, I have noticed recently that there's a lot of, like, I don't know, for lack of a better word, some of my more hipstery friends have definitely kind of embraced, I guess I'm going to go with alternative coffee. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say regular coffee is, it's in a mug, you drink it. Alternative coffee, there's a lot of people with hand pressos where you kind of, you hand press the coffee. And there's a lot of kind of over pours I've seen. There's a lot of that kind of going on. Why would someone use one of those over just, you know, a regular kind of one of the big barista things where just the coffee comes out?
We always said in the industry, you have three types of brewing coffee. You have the immersion, what we call the French press.
Yeah.
So the coffee is actually being soaked in the water. You use as well the gravity. And you you gave an example about pouring and the filter. You use the gravity strength force to actually have the water go through the coffee. And you have the pression.
Okay.
Which is typically what you can find with an Italian machine.
One of the big ones.
And this is actually this brewing method that inspired the Nespresso system under pressure. And right now, there is even a fourth one that is using actually an infusion and rotational strength.
Yes, yeah, I think that's... I've seen a recent Nespresso.
Exactly.
Thing.
I was discussing with stakeholders from the... third wave, and your hipster friend will probably understand that term, and about this system, and they were quite amazed by the technology and the innovation we have put into that. And it's clear that you have many possibilities to extract coffees.
Yeah.
Now you have to find the one that suits the best your habits.
I was going to say, if I had one type of coffee and I put them in all three different types, all different three different methods, would they taste the same, or would they taste very different?
They will taste different. Very different. Definitely. You have to take a lot of aspects into consideration when you want to brew coffee. First of all, the origin, the way the coffee has been grown, the way it has been produced, processed after harvest, the way it has been dried. And then, the same as in the gastronomy, depending on how you will roast the coffee, how you will grill, how you will use this Maillard reaction that actually steakhouses know really well about because you don't cook meat the same way. And then as well, it's how you will grind it. And at the end, it's even the water temperature, the brewing method that you will be using will give you a different result in the cup.
Okay.
And if you want to do a comparative, other brewing methods are amazing because they can help you deliver cups of coffee that are so qualitative. And here you have to take into consideration maybe the lack of consistency because you have so many parameters that you need to be able to control and repeat to be able to provide the same quality cup that when you're using a system such as portion coffee is actually giving you this possibility to have the same consistent quality cup of coffee every day. And so, these are the differences you can
so
do.
What's kind of one of the biggest mistakes that kind of you think people make when kind of making coffee?
But it's like everything, maybe not studying before, because I know it sounds maybe pretentious, but you have a lot to take into consideration when you want to extract coffee. The biggest mistake maybe, and this is for me super important, and I don't want to sound too extreme, It's the freshness of your coffee.
Okay.
Coffee oxidized really quickly.
Really?
In contact with the oxygen.
I have a bag of coffee that I kind of bought 3 months ago.
All right.
A few scoops, and then I've kind of put it back in the bag and I've rolled it up.
Yeah, so that's definitely Ghostel. So you lost a lot of aromatic profiles. Okay. This impacts a lot the aromatic profile of your coffee.
Hmm.
And if you had a sample of the coffee when you bought it,
yeah,
and we made a comparative with the a controlled parameters environment in terms of brewing,
yeah,
you will see a big difference.
Hmm.
And this is why as well, and to go back to portion coffee, we have this qualitative material that we selected, which is aluminium,
mm-hmm.
which protects completely the coffee from the oxygen,
mm-hmm.
but not only from that, from the moist and from the light,
mm-hmm.
which this infernal trio
mm-hmm.
Drastically impacts
mm-hmm.
The quality of the coffee.
Well, I do know, not to kind of big up, I mean, Nespresso too much, because that is your job.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I know that actually a lot of Michelin star restaurants use Nespresso machines purely because Michelin is all about consistency.
Mm-hmm.
And by using if that's your coffee, you kind of generally know that every single cup is going to be the same again and again and again.
Yeah.
But kind of let's talk about Nespresso a little bit. It has kind of both a good and kind of bad reputation among coffee drinkers. For some people, it's the greatest thing in the world. For some people, it's kind of not real kind of coffee, I guess, for the guys who kind of overpour and stuff.
Yeah.
Bias aside, where do you think it stands in the terms of like regular person and like coffee snob?
All right. So I'll take two different approach.
Yeah.
I'll take the hedonistic approach, which is like enjoying a cup of coffee. Definitely, when you look at it into a consumer perspective, consumers are selecting products that are good for them,
mm-hmm.
first of all, that they like in terms of taste,
mm-hmm.
With a wide selection at dispose available for them. And as well, they select a product that will be fair, not only to the environment, but to the people involved in the business and in terms of way of connecting the business. When you look at it into a scientific way, you have to take into consideration, and I will tackle the sustainability aspect mm-hmm. here. You have to take into consideration the entire the whole steps taking place throughout the value chain,
mm-hmm.
from the coffee production,
yeah.
to the way it's transported, to the way it's being consumed, the energy you use to actually prepare your coffee.
Okay, yeah.
So we have many consumers and customers, club members that selected us as well because they know for a fact that the energy used to prepare the coffee with Nespresso is completely reduced because you don't need to boil a liter of water.
Yeah.
And you use exactly
what you need.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. In terms of grams of coffee.
Yeah.
And then it turns off.
Mm.
And maybe this is something that is more and more consciously known by the consumers. So we are putting a lot of effort. I just spent 2 weeks in Switzerland.
Mm.
I took part of a certificate of advanced studies
mm-hmm.
that we created at Nespresso in partnership with the University of Zurich of Applied Sciences.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the chance to meet several stakeholders in charge of different step of the process in the value chain,
mm-hmm.
From the roaster master, the grinder master, and the green coffee specialist. And what I can tell you is that the precision we are putting into producing our products
mm-hmm.
Reached such a big high level that for now, like, this is why we are super proud, and you can talk to any of my colleagues and our customers to work with this brand, because we know that what we are doing is done in the right way,
yeah,
and produce end results that is qualitative
mm-hmm.
and simple to use.
Mm.
Yeah.
So you must drink coffee outside of Nespresso.
A lot.
What's your outside of Nespresso? How do you drink your coffee?
So I like to try yeah. any type of coffee.
Yeah.
I am so in the first years I was quite extreme and I was only drinking Nespresso and I was refusing Nespresso.
Yeah.
You have to understand something. Nespresso selects 10% out of the coffee produced globally, 10% of the coffee is considered as gourmet coffee.
Okay.
And espresso selects only out of those 10%.
What makes something gourmet? And
The size of the beans.
Okay.
And the aromatic profile.
All right.
So in terms of quality and physical and aromatic approach, this is how we select an gourmet coffee. Mm. Now, we used to say you should always try to taste other coffees because you need to learn how to appreciate other goods.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And this is super important for me because in the beginning I was tasting only super highly roasted coffees.
Yeah.
Now my taste changed because I went outside of my box and my comfort zone, and it's clear for me. I like to taste any type of coffee, and I'm going to say something really wrong, but I even like to try from time to time instant coffee, just as well to increase my palate and the way I perceive the beverage. Yeah. There are many spots here in Dubai that I like to spend time from time to time and try and discuss with people from the industry. Mm. And but typically at homes, from time to time, if I really have the time, I like to do a French press, but it's going to be super rare because at home, of course, I'm fully equipped with an espresso. And this is for me as well a simple way of starting my day. I don't like to hassle too much in the morning.
So then I guess for a lot of people, and I can kind of say this as well, you know, I've tried multiple types of kind of coffee and they all kind of taste very similar to me. Hmm. So I guess the question is that, if I am tasting coffee, what are some sort of things that I should start to think about as I taste them that will start maybe getting my brain picking up different flavor profiles?
So I like to do triangulation taste.
Okay.
I like to pour three different type of coffees. A highly roasted blend of coffee with Arabica and Robusta. Mm-hmm. Robusta will bring this astringency and this bitterness in the blend. I like to take to the other spectrum, the extreme of the spectrum, an Ethiopian coffee, which is purely Arabica coffee with fruity orange notes, flowery notes, and then taking a late harvest Colombian coffee. Which will bring you grape notes, red fruity notes, you know, such as cranberries. I'm forgetting the word now. Like you have as well some pomegranate notes, and with different level of acidity, bitterness, and you have to trust your palate. So the thing is, always when you taste a coffee, look at it, okay? Especially if it comes from a pressure machine,
okay?
The crema has to be there. If you're being, just for people listening, if you're being served a coffee out of a pressure brewing system without crema, the coffee isn't fresh.
Okay.
So you can send it back.
Oh, so the coffee is bad.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And I witnessed that so many times. And I know it happened to you.
Crema's like the froth, because I used to think crema was like cream or something. But no, it's the froth.
Crema means the foam, the froth of the coffee. And especially for the pressure, you will not get that out of a filter, so you cannot adjust. But for pressure, it's really important. You have the right to send the coffee back and ask for
I'm going to tell you. I'm gonna make that happen.
Exactly. So I was saying, to be able to assess a coffee, always look at it. Okay, look at the crema. If it's dark, if it has a light colors, it will give you a hint about the roasting profile. Mm-hmm. If it's grilled or lightly roasted. Then you have to smell it. The smell will give you a little bit of indication on where this coffee will go. So is it a coffee that smells more dark cocoa or has more fruity side to it? When you taste it, don't look for the flavors. Do not look for the flavors because your mouth works in a certain way. What you will be perceiving first is one of the five five tastes.
Ah, taste, yeah.
You know, you have saltiness, sweetness, bitterness, acidity, and umami. So try just to detect if the coffee has a high bitterness or high acidity.
Yeah.
The best way is to compare that to tonic water for the bitterness and to lemon for the acidity. As simple as that. When your mouth is used to this taste sensation, take a second sip. And this is the moment where you will be able to discover the different notes and different aromatic and flavors of the coffee. And when you will taste this highly roasted coffee, go for a light roasted coffee.
Yeah.
And you will definitely, the acidity will pop out and the fruitiness will pop out. And then you go back to the highly roasted and you will be able to assess those woody notes, dark cocoa notes that will appear in this coffee. So triangulation works really well when you want to differentiate coffees.
Different coffees.
Yeah. Okay. It's like with food, huh? you know, like we say often, like the way to educate kids is to make them taste a lot of different products at a young age for them to be able to, I would say, recognize them, but as well to train their palate and their taste buds. It's the same with coffee and when you're going to drink it. Yeah.
Well, what sort of temperatures should we be playing with? Because a lot of people, I myself as well, especially with like a French press, put kettle on. Kettle's done. Pour everything in the kettle into a French press.
Yeah.
Is that the right way of doing it? Should it be going in that hot? Should I be drinking it that hot?
Well, again, I'm going back to all these parameters that you need to be controlling. Yeah. The best temperature is compromised between 86 to 96 degrees.
Okay.
So water boils at 100 degrees Celsius.
Yeah.
So it's going to be way too hot. And you're going to over-extract the solid matters from the coffee, the different aromatic components from the coffee that you don't want in your cup.
Okay.
Because...
So it's going to be like almost like you're burning it.
Yeah, and you extract like rancid notes
out of the coffee. All the bad stuff.
Exactly. So let it rest a little bit or get a kettle that you can...
Set.
So you can set with a different temperature or even easier. Get an espresso machine. This is as well about the consistency. Our coffee is being extracted always at 92 degrees from the moment it goes through the coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And from the moment it's being extracted out of the it exits the machine, it sets around 86 degrees.
Okay.
And then it's always good to let it rest a little bit to drink it when it's around 75 degrees.
Okay.
is where you have the best bouquet in terms of aromatic profile. And of course, it's way much more comfortable to drink a coffee that is not completely
too hot. Especially because I drink black coffee, so you can easily break it.
Be careful as well.
All right, so you know how kind of there's a lot of high street coffee chains? I'm not going to say which one this is. I just kind of want to get your take on this popular drink from a large-scale coffee shop. So, this is a pumpkin spiced latte, because we're coming up on Thanksgiving. The ingredients, milk, pumpkin spice, pumpkin puree, annatto, salt, potassium sorbate, brewed espresso, whipped cream, pumpkin spice topping.
Right. And
does that sound like a drink that you would...
So it definitely sounds like a drink I will taste.
Yeah.
I will try it.
Try everything once.
I will maybe not like it. It's not maybe my taste. Definitely not. I'm a simple man. I like a little... top it with a little bit of milk.
Okay.
And instead of adding sugar, I add honey.
Okay, cool.
To my coffee. You should try it for your morning coffee.
A lot of us here drink, I think, black coffee because... It's a little bit about the caffeine. I've never stopped to kind of take a sniff of it. Although I do quite like cold brew, and that's got a whole different flavor profile. I think I quite like it because you can actually taste a lot more than just kind of like hot coffee.
Exactly. Just on that point, it depends. All the answers in advance, I can say it depends because you have as many different tastes as you have human beings. So some people even like coffee with a touch of broccoli, dried broccoli powder.
Really?
Some other put more syrup in their coffee than actual coffee.
I've
met those people. But at the end, it's as well as like how you like it. So we're not trying to impose ourselves as a beverage you have to drink 10 times a day, but how you can ally it, how you can side it with different garnishes, different ingredients, is always interesting to prospect into this area. Then again, I will taste it, try to appreciate it. I'm not sure I will fall in love with it, but we have some flavored coffee like that, you know. We have this pumpkin spice cake. Unfortunately, we don't have it here on the market, but it's something we launched in the US. And it's exquisite. With a little bit of milk and sugar, it's super exquisite. It's a perfect dessert coffee.
So where does all that, because I do know Nespresso does have quite a lot of seasonal blends and a lot of different coffees. Where does all that Where does that come from? Who ends up like choosing the riff flavors, and where does the experimentation happen? Is there like a secret like layer somewhere in the world where Nespresso people are just mixing pumpkin spice with different stuff?
Well, there are two teams I want to talk about here. You have the marketing team, of the headquarters international. We actually studies trends, studies consumer behaviors, and we'll direct a little bit the coffee team into a direction. And the coffee team, this is the second team I want to shout out as well, have such a strong network in the industry through our own programs, and we have like 400 agronomists around the world we are constantly in contact that can actually help us and support us finding the right typology of coffee needed for this end product that we would like to release. When it comes to the different seasonal coffees we have some flavored coffee, especially for the festive period. And it's something that is always super appreciated and has a great success. We have as well some Grand Reserve coffee, that, that are coffee that, that are super rare. And this is going the other way, where we have the chance to actually being able to own this coffee. We had for many years ago a coffee from Hawaii, which has a specific terroir. It's a coffee of that grows at a certain type of altitude, and it's only a window of 10 meters in different of altitude on the volcanic soil. And you know, I was talking about this grape industry and the similarity between coffee and grape. You have as well some single estate coffee that we have released. We have some limited edition that are actually a tribute to the history of coffee. History of coffee is super rich, and I can propose you a few literatures about that, because you will see how coffee actually accompanied societal changes.
I can imagine,
and how we travel around the world. It's completely amazing how we are. It has been part of many history events that we know, that we've learned at school, and there are actually, and coffee was actually one of the main actor in terms of goods. And
I can imagine. Are there any kind of in the kind of the Middle East? Are there any favorites among kind of, you know, I guess people here? Are there any certain types that do well here that may not do well other types of the world, or is kind of everyone's taste globally pretty much in sync?
Well, the way of consuming coffee in the region is more or less similar to what you have globally. Of course, you have some traditional way of drinking coffee, like the Arabian coffee. I will even name the Turkish coffee. But if you look at it in a study way and the research we made, actually, consumers have coffee more or less the same way. Okay. It means that between 65 to 70% of the adults consuming coffee have from time to time a white coffee, meaning with milk. And we think actually that black coffee is the most drunk coffee, which is not right actually. Most of the cups are being drunk with milk.
With milk, yeah.
So the consumption here, and you can see, sit in a coffee shop or even go in an espresso boutique and have a look during an hour maybe, and just count the number of cups that are being served and how many of them are actually black and how many of them are milk. It's going to give you directly an indication on the way we consume coffee in the region.
That's very interesting. So kind of the last question, this is the big question. Have you ever met George Clooney?
I have never met George Clooney. I'm not saying that I'm looking for it passionately. I would love to meet him. First of all, because I'm massive movie fan. I binge watch movies way too much apparently, but as well because I you know, at an early stage when I started in 2007, and we had the first campaign with George Clooney in 2006. So I just entered the company and I was like, wow, it was such an amazing brand ambassador in terms of popularity and exposition. And throughout the years, because we have as well internal communication, and we are actually communicating more and more about that now. He's actually way much more than just an actor. You know, he's a director, but he's as well an activist and a journalist. And I have this amazing story about him. And that's why I would really love to meet him once, because I don't know if you remember, he released a few years ago documentary with his dad about the South Sudan civil war that was happening and the aftermath.
Yes, I do remember.
And they traveled there and he discovered that actually the coffee industry in South Sudan was about to die. Mm. And he came to Nespresso to ask us to prospect this region. And we, Jean-Marc Duvoisin, which is the CEO currently, the company, said, okay, listen, we're going to send a team and we're going to try to assess the field and see what we can do. It took us 4 years and we actually revived the industry there. And we had two batch of coffee from South Sudan, really in a special limited edition, but we have been able to put back on track coffee farmers there.
Okay, wow.
And that's really good. And just for that, you know, that's why I'm like super fan of of his person. Of course, because he's funny, but he's selecting his battles.
Yeah.
The way we do as well as a business. Because he cares about the environment, but as well about the people. Yeah. And for me, just a message. If he hears that, he's more than welcome to visit us in Dubai.
He definitely listens to this. Well, perfect. Thank you very much for coming down. And I'm looking forward to having my next cup of coffee and actually kind of tasting it properly as opposed to just guzzling it.
Well, if you don't mind, and I want you to promise me next time we see each other. Let's taste coffee. I want to do this triangulation tasting with you and get to teach you a little bit more about the beverage.
Definitely. Thank you very much.
Thanks to you, Thomas.
So that has been another episode of the Esquire Q&A podcast. We do hope you enjoyed listening to the conversation. And if you did, then let us know by rating the podcast on your favorite podcast app. And if you didn't, heck, rate it too. It all helps us figure out the types of guests you want to hear on the podcast. Be sure to check back next Tuesday for another episode. See you very soon.